And then God showed up. Have you heard people say this before? Because they say it a lot. Things were in a mess, and then God showed up. I lost my job, and then God showed up. You should have been with me when God showed up.
God never explains to Job the reasons for his misfortunes. It seems that God finds it much more important that Job understands who God is than the reasons behind why things happen.
I was sitting with my four friends on the ground, just sitting in complete frustration. We'd been sitting for over a week. We were tired, hungry, and we stank. I was in such relentless pain. I can't even describe it. We were at a total loss of how to even talk to one another. And then God showed up. Out of a storm, God spoke to me. Me. I was going to get a chance to talk to God. Unbelievable. To explain to him that I had done nothing wrong and to get all of my pain and suffering to go away. At least that's what I thought for a brief moment. With God's first words, I realized that one of my worst fears was true. I was trying to analyze my problems, but I was unable to because I was absolutely lacking in knowledge. I had no knowledge of how the world worked or the nature of God who controls the whole world. I had no knowledge, and I had no understanding. Who is this that questions me by words without knowledge? Put on your protective gear like a real man and answer me. I'll ask you questions, and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid Earth's foundations? Who determined how big it should be? And what does its foundations rest on? Tell me if you know and have understanding. I cringed. And God was just getting started. I began to have an inkling of how big God is and how small I am. God didn't even slow down. He wanted to leave me with an understanding that I could share with people throughout all ages. Where were you when the morning stars sang together? Who told the sea where to have its borders or its waves to stop? Since you were born, did you ever start a day by causing the dawn? Have you explored the springs at the bottom of the sea or walked on its bottom? Have you seen the gates of death? Where do light and darkness live? And how do you get there? Have you seen my storehouses of hail that I reserve for times of trouble? Does rain have a father or ice a mother? Who sends food to lions and ravens? Do you know all the ways of all the wild animals? If you want to contend and argue with me, answer. What could I say? What would you say? Lord, I am so small. I have no answers. I was hoping God would just forgive me and move on. But he had to make certain I got it. Will you condemn me so that you appear right? Do you have strength and power like me? Can you bring down the wicked and destroy them? Can you control the behemoth or catch the Leviathan with a fish hook? Will the Leviathan follow your every command and play with you like a pet? God didn't stop. He went on and on. With every word, his great power washed over me and my great weakness. So I confessed and repented. The only proper response to God. I know that you can do all things and that none of your purposes will be thwarted. I said things I didn't understand, but now I see you. I despise myself and repent. Now, I'm not saying it all came clear to me. But you can tell from my response one thing. Once I understood the awesomeness of God, I knew all things are about Him and not about me. God turned his attention to Eliphaz. He told Eliphaz how angry he was with him for speaking incorrectly of God. He instructed him and the others to take 7 bulls and rams and offer them as a burnt sacrifice, and that I was to pray for them. He agreed to accept my prayer, and he did. Through all this, he justified my heart by saying that I had spoken correctly about him. I was in unspeakable pain still, but I did not ask him to take it away from me. I figured that he still had a reason for me to continue that way. Perhaps the reason was so that my rich friends could ponder the question of how I could be righteous, but still not have health or wealth. Maybe it was so they could wonder how they would react if they lost all they had. I'll end my story here. God did not tell me why I lost everything, but he also didn't tell me why I had been given everything in the first place. I never learned how God makes his decisions, but I did learn to trust him, no matter what decision he makes. He showed up. And I will worship him for who he is.
Job prayed for his 3 friends. They gathered up their possessions and went back to their homes. They came to bring comfort and restoration to Job, but they also received great blessings by learning about God and having a new worldview. That night, Job and I lay near to one another, watching the star-studded sky. We remembered the words God had spoken about the stars and the sky, and laughed that we knew something about the constellations nobody else knew. We were still poor. We still stank. But we were content with our lives. We knew that God was in control. We were almost asleep. Responded, "Blessed is the name of the Lord." The next morning, we could see that Job's sores were starting to heal. We took the small gold pieces that his friends had left and bought a house. All of Job's brothers and sisters and old friends came to visit and console us. Each one of them gave us money and a gold ring. Over the next few years, the Lord gave us twice as many possessions as we had before. More importantly, I bore 7 more sons and 3 more lovely daughters. Jemima, Keziah, and Karen Habbock. They were the 3 most beautiful women in the land, if I do say so myself. Job started a new tradition in our area by giving the daughters equal inheritance as the sons. Job lived 140 years and saw 4 generations of his descendants. Every night of our lives, we gathered the family together to remind them of the time of our misfortune, to remind them that they are to be righteous as a part of worship to God, that God is in control, not us. We recite in unison, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed is the name